Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. As happy as can be to be back here with you on a Monday afternoon. Thanks very much for being here with us. The number is 888-318-7884, and you're probably going to want to call at least one of the 2 hours. Second hour, Jason Evert will be here with us, and we'll talk about chastity with Jason. Maybe if you if that's an issue in your own life, that's something you'd like to help, you know, encourage in your children's lives, whatever. If you have chastity questions, you're welcome to call second hour. This hour, I think we're pretty much just going to have a ball talking about a fascinating subject with a wonderful person. Rose Sweet is here, and she's got a new book called My Type of Holiness, Striving for Sainthood with the Temperament God Gave Me. So God gave each of us a temperament, and he did it because he loves us, and he loves the world, and he wanted us, a person like us, in it. And there's a long, centuries-long study of the human temperaments, and that's what Rose's book is about. Rose, you can find her at rosesweet.com and get all her books and have her come to your event. Are you still going out speaking, Rose?
I am.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mostly you can just pick up the phone and call if you want to talk to her, 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet, thank you for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
I feel sanguine about having you here.
Well, you can feel sanguine.
A little melancholic, but also phlegmatic.
But what about your choleric?
I don't know about that.
You're very confused, isn't that correct?
That is my temperament, confused. All right, so there's four temperaments.
Okay,
and
no,
it
wait
is
a minute,
so
minute,
much
minute,
fun
minute,
to talk about this. Go ahead, wait a minute.
Don't
yes.
jump into
wait,
the
Wait, are
four.
You the bossy temperament?
Yes, I am.
What's the bossy one?
Okay, the bossy one is the choleric, but okay. They can all be bossy under certain situations.
Okay.
But let's go back to the beginning. Where did these come from?
Yes, please. Tell me where the...
But I told you, don't you remember?
Well, yes. You told me off the air. It's important that you also say these things on the air. But I believe the temperaments themselves came from God. But the...
Okay, good.
But the understanding of the temperaments comes from ancient Greek philosophy, a guy named Hippocrates.
You get an A+ for that. No. Exactly. They came from God.
Yes.
And Hippocrates, father of modern medicine... Notice that people were in the hospital when they were stripped of all their ego and their performances and whatever. They're sick, right? They're in bed.
Yeah.
This is what you get is what you get. And he noticed four different consistent types of behavior and responses in people. And he was curious about it. He studied it and he coined phrases. And he thought they came from excess amounts of certain body fluids. That's where we come with the choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, melancholy. Mm-hmm. But this was carried along through the centuries because the Greeks and everybody else recognized this is a human reality. Even in Scripture, we can see, remember Jacob and Esau?
Yes.
Brothers, two, same father, same mother, completely different temperaments.
Right.
We even see, go back to creation. God separated the dark from the light.
Yes.
And the day from the night. Everything he created were these sets of opposites, and temperaments are no different. And then in the medieval times, when we have these wonderful saints, you know, Augustine, Aquinas, Francis de Sales, Teresa of Avila, Ignatius of Loyola, they all used the study of temperaments to know themselves, to acquire virtue. So if God did hardwire me to be Betty Bossy, I need to focus on that and see where that is a strength and where it is a weakness so I can develop virtue.
Okay, Betty, so...
Wait a minute.
What? Oh, Rose. Rose Sweet is our guest. The number is 888-318-7884. I'm going to keep saying the title of this book. My Type of Holiness. Striving for Sainthood with the Temperament God Gave Me. The temperament thing is fun because it is fun to get to know ourselves. There's something... There's a weird quality of human beings where we can know all kinds of things and not know ourselves. But then to start to get to know yourself is kind of a fun, adventure.
Well, it is fun, but the problem is we stop right there. And it stays stuck at pop psychology.
Okay.
Oh, I'm this, or I'm that, or you're this, or you're that. And people can go, wait a minute, you just put a label on me. I'm so deep, and I'm so, unique. You can't do that to me. And if we don't study it properly and use it, apply it properly, it becomes a harmful bit of knowledge. So I've noticed that people over the years take this and they take the test and then they never do anything with it.
All right, so what good can it do us to know our temperament?
First of all, your temperament and my temperament, remember we're made in God's image. So each of us gets a little reflection of God himself in our temperament. Remember, God is like the forceful winds and the pounding waves. He's powerful, but he's also gentle and quiet and a still small voice.
Yeah.
There's an opposite right there. And he's joy. We have joyful times, you know, and then we have deep, sorrowful times.
Mm-hmm.
So God himself has imparted some of his divinity to us in our temperament as a little reflection of that. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I feel like there's a value of appreciation in that we don't just look at, especially at, I mean, I can see that when I look at myself, not to be like, oh, why am I like this? I wish I was more like that one. But also just to appreciate that this diversity of human temperaments is a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. And everything that we study, and this is what the beautiful thing about Catholic Answers and Apologetics, everything we study should ultimately lead us back to God, should point to him. And the fact that I am made a certain way, I got a little sliver of my divine father's DNA in me. That's a way to look at it.
Yeah.
And in that, I can then understand my father a little bit more. And I understand where I came from and my relationship to my heavenly father and how he sees all his children. Especially, I came from a big family. I'm the oldest of nine. And I remember my dad had a unique and beautiful relationship with every one of his kids, but we were all different.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't want to get too much in the weeds on this because we have such a short time, but I love this. I discovered it in high school in 1968. The Catholic sisters were teaching this in our humanities class.
So it was crazy Catholic nuns of the 1960s.
And I was so excited to take the test, and then I was traumatized.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Turns out part of my temperament is sanguine, and I read this list of flighty, fickle, short-lived, short attention span, immature, childish, and I was like,
Well, that is kind of a mean thing to do to an adolescent. Here's your type. And
Like,
we're not really ready to process all that.
No, but exactly. This should have come with instructions, and it didn't. Now, of course, there were the strengths, you know, outgoing, bubbly, sparkly, whatever. But when I got to the weaknesses, I didn't know how to handle that. And I think today the same thing is when people take a test and they look at the results, I don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I even talked to a priest the other day who said, I didn't think I could be a good priest with my temperament. And I had to really go into the spiritual direction and therapy to embrace how God wired me. And he goes, now I love being a priest and I love my temperament.
So you could look at the temperaments and get the wrong idea about yourself. Like, oh, I'm stuck with this temperament.
Or I'm not really that. Nobody really understands me. Rose is wrong.
Oh, I would never think Rose is wrong.
Right.
But what about that? I think the other side of it is there are probably things that come with your temperament that if you just knew that's part of your temperament, God gave you that, it would take away some of your sense of, I'm not exactly like St. Francis, so I am not that great, you know?
Well, maybe though, because remember, we're all wounded. This goes into our psychology here. You know, our temperament is raw material, but then on top of that, we have life experiences and childhood trauma and cultural influences. There's a whole bunch of stuff that makes up our personality. Temperament is just one part of that. It's the basic thing.
The number is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk with Rose, you are welcome to call that number, 888-318-7884. Who's the bossiest temperament out of all of them? That's choleric? What are you doing, Rose? What's going
on? It's the choleric, of course. What?
I can't even describe what you're doing on the air.
You have to.
Rose
this is an
pretending
important topic.
To smoke a cigarette.
Now, this is, okay.
This is some sort of fake cigarette that it you
is.
Think
I,
it's funny.
It is funny. I got it on Amazon.
Yeah.
It has fake smoke and everything.
I got to get one of those.
Here, let me put it out in the ashtray here.
All right, so why are you smoking a fake cigarette?
Okay, because that's my sanguine side. My sanguine, okay, the choleric is the bossy one. And I'll explain that later. But okay. The choleric is loud, in charge, take charge, high energy, highly productive, can look out.
Those are the people I'm jealous of.
Oh, okay, exactly.
Yeah.
See the problems, fix it immediately. Hey, you go to work here. You know, they don't mind taking charge wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a bad thing sometimes? Yes.
Yeah, it probably is, Elon Musk. I mean, but...
okay,
sorry.
Okay. No.
But sometimes, yes, clearly... There is a way that can become awful for everyone.
Okay, so each of the four has a good side, but if carried to extreme, it becomes a negative. And my other one, that's an extrovert. I'm a double extrovert. My other one is the sanguine that whipped out the little fake cigarette. She is...
Looking for attention.
Attention, fun, and she wants to hug and kiss and touch everybody and get in their space, even though they didn't give you permission to get in their space.
Yeah.
High energy.
I want signed forms before anyone touches me.
Okay.
So what does that make me? That, I would like some sort of lawyer representation before anyone says.
Okay, so that's the opposite of the sanguine. That's the melancholy.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't mean you're depressed. It means that you are suspicious before you trust.
Yeah.
You doubt,
mm-hmm.
like St. Thomas did. You have to see proof. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I guess sometimes good, sometimes
okay,
bad.
Okay, exactly. That's my point. Let me tell you, if I was going to have brain surgery,
mm-hmm.
I would want you to be my doctor. Because I would want you to, like,
I'm going to need some training.
No, hang on.
I don't know if
okay,
you know.
Okay, so they're going to, the nurses say, okay, so we're up, we got all the brain tumor out. And I want you to go, I don't know about that.
Yes, right.
I don't think we did. Oh, doctor, it's all gone. Look here. And he goes, oh. And I want you. I want that melancholy, suspicious, doubtful one that says, let's go deeper and let's just make sure here.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about the temperaments with Rose Sweet, who has a new book about your holiness and your temperament. And if you are choleric, you're welcome to call. Just talk slowly. If you're melancholic, speed it up a little bit. 888-318-7884. Right back with more Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you looking to study Catholic theology in a formal way with the guidance of faithful scholars? Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by the Augustine Institute, offering master's degrees in theology, pastoral theology, and Catholic education with flexible study options on campus, online, or both. The Augustine Institute equips students to serve Christ and His church in schools, parishes, dioceses, apostolates, and the home. Learn more today at augustine.edu.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year is 2019. EWTN launches ASI Africa, a Nairobi, Kenya-based Catholic news agency, which will publish in English, French, and Portuguese for the African continent.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Surgeon General has found that use of tobacco can be deleterious to your health, so read all warnings before the use of any tobacco products. Rose Sweet, it's our guest.
I got permission to do that.
From Darren?
Yes.
Darren gave you permission to do that?
Yes, he did.
He's a horrible person. You know, we left out the phlegmatics.
We did? Well, they don't care.
They're okay with that.
No, you know what? I'm glad we accidentally did that, because sometimes the phlegmatic temperament, which is the opposite of the Betty Bossy choleric, they're even-keeled. Stable, steady, flexible, adaptable. They roll with the punches. They step up to be in charge when somebody needs a leader. And they step up to be the clown when somebody needs entertaining. They're the all-purpose personality, the phlegmatic. And we talked about this. You're part phlegmatic. All my best girlfriends are phlegmatic.
I can't say the sentence, all my best girlfriends. My wife would not be approved
of
that.
Wait, I just left out Elizabeth and she's choleric.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Elizabeth's in the... You start the book with Elizabeth.
I do start the book with
Elizabeth.
She's
choleric. Let me go to the phones momentarily, but first I must sell you this tie that I am wearing. Rose, what do you think of my tie?
It looks vaguely familiar.
My cufflinks. Vaguely familiar?
Yes.
Vaguely?
Oh, these are beautiful. Oh, these are beautiful.
Cufflinks?
Oh, these are if a man had these on his shirt, I would just go hubba hubba.
You would go hubba hubba.
Yes.
I can't put them on my shirt because I have such a low-class shirt that doesn't take cufflinks. But
these should be earrings, too, I think. But anyway.
Watch this. Watch me read this. Okay. Check out the beautiful collection of silk ties and gold cufflinks with a Catholic theme in the Catholic Men's Shop category at shop.catholic.com. Both beautiful and unique. Beyond those recommendations, we have hundreds of books and gift items on sale right now. Perfect timing, actually, if you order today, for Father's Day coming up. Check out the Catholic Men's Shop at shop.catholic.com.
Okay, now wait a minute. I remember behind that tie, this is Our Lady of Guadalupe. Look at that. That's from her dress.
And this is for all these stars are her stars,
too. It's beautiful.
Too. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
And you're handsome.
Well, thank you. And phlegmatic.
And the Sanguines are charmers. They like to compliment people so people will love them and love them in return.
Oh.
They're very insincere.
Well, I don't care if it's sincere or not. I just like to hear it.
Okay, that's
really
exactly
don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
phlegmatic,
it.
Right?
Yes.
Like, I don't care why you said it.
I love that.
Okay.
Okay.
Jim and, wait, did you want to do anything else before we go to Jim in Valley, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio?
No, but we could go back if we, there's some points I wanted to make, but let's take Jim first.
All right, we'll talk to Jim in Valley, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hi, Jim.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Can you hear me?
Very well.
Hi,
yep.
Jim.
Good. So I love your show, Psychelet, and I am very much of a take charge person. And so I have a lot on my plate all the time. I'm 68 years old and trying to slow down but not being very successful. When I pray, which is often, morning prayers, we say the rosary every day, and I pray a lot of times in the car, but I have a real problem concentrating and keeping focused on my prayers. Does my personality affect that? And if you think it does, how can I put that stuff aside so that I can better concentrate on my prayers?
Wow, Jim, what a great question. I think all of us struggle with sticking to our prayers for different reasons, and part of it could be your natural temperament. If you put a lot on your plate and love to be productive and think about all the things that you could do during the day, it's going to be very difficult to focus on your prayers when another part of you is off and running already, you know, to the office or doing all the jobs you want to do. So it's a matter of internally being aware of the part that wants to run off and do all those tasks and bringing him back to sit down and say, this is our time with the Lord, and this is the most important task we have of the day, and everything else can go. I know because I have the same struggle. But each of them, the Sanguine just wants to run off and play and do something fun. The phlegmatic sometimes thinks, oh, this rosary is so long. Can we ever get to the end of it? And the melancholy, they're thinking of the world's problems. You know, they're saying the joyful mysteries, but all of a sudden they're thinking about, you know, what's going on in the Far East or whatever. And, you know, their minds just go all different places. So all four of the natural temperaments can struggle in prayer. I think the key, Jim, for you is to find out where do you want to be other than prayer? Get in touch with that part of you that says, I'd rather be doing this or doing that. And that's the part you want to, almost like a parent, you'll have to parent that part and say, okay, son, sit down. There's going to be a time for that.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good. I even say a prayer in the morning. I don't know the name of the prayer, but it basically asks God to help me focus on my prayers, and a lot of times that will help for a time, but there's sometimes when before I even get through that prayer, my mind is
wandering. You know, this this is so normal, natural, and spiritual directors for centuries have been talking about this. You're in good company with all the rest of us whose our minds are just everywhere. One of the things I've had to learn is to not make my prayers so long. I try to have a full holy hour, so to speak, in the mornings, but I have to have a lot of different short prayers. I can't do big, long prayers, or my mind will start to wander. So as St. Teresa of Avila said, and so many of the other beautiful saints, know yourself. What is it that's causing you difficulty? And then just go about and rectify that. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, I will certainly put an effort in doing that, and hopefully it helps me out.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to put a plug in here, Jim. Thanks for your question. Is don't put your prayer off to the later in the day or the evening. How many of us are exhausted and our minds are on everything? I've really found that if you get up, make your bed, go get your coffee, and sit down and shut the door and spend time with the Lord and give your best prayer time in the morning before you hit the ground running is a really good practice.
Jim, thanks. I'm going to keep taking calls for Rose. Rose Sweet is our guest. The new book from Rose is My Type of Holiness, Striving for Sainthood with the Temperament God Gave Me. I'm going to go to the next caller, but I want to ask you a question first.
Yes.
If I said, okay, there's four temperaments, and I'm going to see if I can remember them now. Sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, melancholic.
Excellent.
Yes, thank you. Could you name me a saint for each one of those? Like, do you...
Yes.
Do you think there is a saint for each one of those?
Well, obviously, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so, but here, let me, a caveat here. We're not just one temperament. Everybody is a blend of two, and the other two are your opposites.
Okay.
So I'm a sanguine choleric, you're a phlegmatic melancholy.
We are opposites.
We're complete opposites.
I'm
female, you're male. So we're...
I wasn't aware of that part, Rose.
You're intelligent.
Actually, it's California. You never know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so you can see that sanguines like to be on the stage, but so do melancholies. You love, and this you're on stage here, but this is your safe, familiar environment where you feel relaxed and comfortable.
Exactly.
And
right.
So you
exactly
shine.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And you and I will compete with each other on the
right
stage.
I don't want any unexpected attention. I do not want it, like nothing. Like I, but if I come here, I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So the saints. St. Peter definitely had a sanguine side.
Okay. Oh, wonderful.
Sanguines are impulsive and impetuous. And
yes,
they are of the grand...
They get out of the boat.
The grand gesture.
Yes.
I will get out. I will do this.
John Paul II was a sanguine then.
No,
he
wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, he was very dramatic, I thought.
Melancholies are also very dramatic.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but you don't have to yell at me. I feel like you're yelling
at
me.
Shut up.
Go ahead. Smoking and swearing. That's what you're doing on the show
today. And drinking. Drinking.
That's water.
Okay. So here's the difference. The introverts and the extroverts, okay? You can be just like me, but you wait and you check it out and you figure out what's going on in the room and you take the temperature and then you move in.
Yeah.
The extrovert doesn't give it any time. They move impulsively, which is usually not very good.
And that's Peter.
That's Peter.
Right. Okay.
Right. But he was also very loving and it was very passionate. He loved the Lord and he did want to, I'll die for you or I'll never betray you or whatever.
Yeah.
That was sincere. That part was sincere. But when push came to shove, he didn't have the virtue to back it up.
Yet.
Right.
Yet.
Okay. St. Paul.
Go ahead. St. Paul.
Murderous melancholy. And sorry, all you melancholies out there, but here's the thing. The melancholy takes life very, very seriously.
Oh, that's St. Paul.
And you're an infidel. You're toast. You're out of here. We're going to take care of business.
Yeah.
He's very deep. St. Paul is very deep. Look, he talks about the mystery of Christ as the bridegroom and the bride, and you know, deep. And John was also deep.
But what a great saint, though. That's wonderful to think about that.
Saint.
As a melancholic, he's this great saint.
Right, right. Now, we all know that St. Thomas Aquinas...
Was?
He was a primarily phlegmatic.
He was.
Low-key, easygoing, balanced, temperate, steady, solid, but also his melancholy, deep, 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 brilliant mind.
Oh, yeah.
So he wasn't a loud, take-charge-in-your-face kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done the phlegmatic, the melancholy,
the choleric. We did. I almost said the chronic.
And
we're not doing the chronic.
Okay.
The choleric.
And sanguine. St. Teresa of Avila is known to be part sanguine. She, in her writings, she loves romance and flowers and little whatever. You know, we could go off there. Here's the danger. Don't pick one or two words and say, oh, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it depends. Everybody.
Well, how do I find out which one I am then? Oh,
you
I get
read
the book.
The book.
Oh, I forgot. Okay. My Type of Holiness, Striving for Sainthood with the Temperament God Gave Me by Rose Sweet, out now from OSV Press, our Sunday visitor.
And in the back, there's a temperament inventory you can take to see what you are.
All right. They need to invent some kind of tool, the temperamentizer or something. They just point it at you. And
well, I could do it.
A temporizer.
Just sit in front of me for 3 minutes, I'll tell you what you are.
It was funny when you came in today. I was like, mm-hmm. What am I? And you were like, you gave me like, I was like, that's weird. That is exactly what I am. It was very weird. Gross.
Ooh,
spooky. All right, more calls coming up. You can get on the line if you'd like. We're talking about temperaments and the spiritual life with Rose Sweet. 888-318-7884. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Father Jeff Kirby, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme, Go Make Disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest. And usually we talk with Rose. The most common topic we do with Rose has to do with divorce, annulment, remarriage, all of that. That's a big part of her life, helping people in those situations. But now she's got this book out, My Type of Holiness, Striving for Sainthood with the Temperament God Gave Me, the premise of which is God gave each of us our temperament, and there's a reason for that, and it's not a bad thing. There's some things that you're going to be better at, some things you're going to be less better at. Before we end the show, I am going to ask you your opinion on which temperament Jesus was, but I don't want to do it yet. I want to hold that as a tease,
okay,
and then we can get to it.
Okay, you know, I've always been interested in human behavior. I think it was our mother who sat us down and told us why the neighbor lady was doing what she was doing, and I would go, oh, that was very interesting. And when I had broken relationships and went through divorce and was trying to discover who I was and why I was making these bad choices, I got into self-reflection, and the doorway to the interior life for me was the study of temperaments. This is decades ago. And I go, I was always mad at my husband because he was that way, and I thought he should change and be like me.
Right.
So really, not understanding temperaments can contribute to difficult relationships.
Yeah, there's self-knowledge is very, very helpful. And I think it's in the part about St. Teresa of Avila that you talk about, self-knowledge, yeah. right, in the
yeah.
book?
Yeah, she says it's crucial.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And her whole interior castle is really a study on her own layers of herself, yeah. all the different parts of herself and the beliefs that they held and the fears that they held. And that was what helped her let go of certain things and move closer to God and into virtue.
Let's take a call from Gabriel. We've kept Gabriel in Maple okay. Heights, Cleveland, Ohio, listening on AM 1260, The Rock. Gabriel, welcome.
Well, hello, Cy Kellett, my favorite catechist commentator on Catholic cancers. And Rose, I am so excited about your book. I am a personality, studier myself. I'm a firstborn. I'm a sanguine, I believe, choleric.
Yes, you sound like it.
I'm a naturally born bossy person. I was like Lucy as a child, you know, from Peanuts. I always identified with her, you know. I was always given advice, you know, unsolicited, of course. Anyway, like our Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENFP, which is extroversion, but I'm also, oddly enough, I'm an introverted feeler. I'm like, well, that's good because that balances the seesaw. So my question is, and you did brush over it a little while ago, we are composites. So I think that, you know, I'm a sanguine first, choleric, kind of like neck and neck, and then, you know, maybe phlegmatic and, melancholic. I think that I used to say that I was a dilettante when I was younger, but now that I understand that I'm much more a deep diver than a dilettante. So can you help me explain that?
Well, for some people like you, there is no help. So.
Oh, what?
No, okay, she's laughing. She's laughing. Okay, here's what I did. See, she's laughing hilariously. Sanguines don't get all hurt by those things. They think it's hilarious. You are sanguine, definitely. Okay, here's the thing. All of us can be feelers. All of us can have a feeling, a time that we feel introverted and drained. But it's different for everybody. How soon do we feel that way? How long does it last? Is it short-lived? Do we go deep? Do we go, you know? So we can't be all four, just like we can't be male and female. God made you a combination of two, and it does sound like you're a sanguine choleric combination, but you have melancholy moments, like I do. And you have peaceful, quiet, phlegmatic moments, like I do. But my hardwiring, your hardwiring, your default, most of the time, is the temperament that God gave you. So, you know, and then the Myers-Briggs thing, which is really a separate testing mechanism, I'm a feeler too. I used to be an ESTJ and I'm ESTP or I can't remember. I know all the men are ESPN, so that's all I know. Anyway.
So, some are Fox now.
So does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. And I made up my own Looney Tunes version of the personality indicator type, and I invite all of you to do the same. Just pick your four favorites. So I'm Wile E. Coyote. I'm Bugs Bunny. That's the intuitive feeling. I'm a Tasmanian devil. And then I am Pepe Le Pew's girlfriend, the cat. That's my perceptive type. So have fun with that, Rose. You're my kind of girl. I just love you.
I just love you, too. Okay, you guys, did you hear what she said? She loves me, and she doesn't even know me. That's sanguine. And she's sincere.
Oh, yes.
And she's laughing at everything, and she uses cartoons. This is so, you are so sanguine. That's hilarious. It's beautiful.
That's super helpful to me because, thank you, Gabriel. Thank you very much for the call. It's helpful that you point that out because when you say these things in the abstract, I don't actually know what they mean.
Right.
But when you give an example like her, like that's quite a personality she has. That I'll remember as a sanguine person.
Sanguines laugh at everything. Now, sometimes that's not such a good thing. But sanguines laugh. They're happy-go-lucky. Now, phlegmatics can also be happy-go-lucky in a quiet, gentle way. It's slightly different. So we can all respond the same, but our motives are different.
I am going to ask Rose Sweet, the author of My Type of Holiness, Striving for Sainthood with the Temperament God Gave Me, now out from our Sunday Visitor Press, which one Jesus was. So I'll tell you what I'll do.
Okay, let me get my cigarette
No,
here.
No, I'm not going to ask you now. I'm going to do more calls and take the break and everything, but I want the people on YouTube. I want to see what you think. Which of the temperaments, sanguine, choleric, melancholic, or phlegmatic, do you think Jesus was predominantly? Now, Rose, of course, said you have two, but which one do you think Jesus was predominantly? We'll see what YouTube thinks.
What do you mean, Rose said you have two? It doesn't matter what I say. That's the truth. Everybody has a two. Everybody has two. You can't be four.
Okay? I'm so scared right now. I don't even know what's happening.
You
what did
be.
I say that was wrong?
You should
be. You're frightening and upsetting me. Wait, I said, no, you're saying it's just an objective fact. That
yes.
whatever you say, I should just believe? Is that
yes.
what you're saying?
Look,
oh, okay.
If
all
right. Teresa
I know I get that sentiment. I understand that sentiment.
That's why I quoted these saints. Teresa of Avila, Augustine, Aquinas. If they say it.
I believe them.
See, this is exactly
318-7884 is the number. Looks over on YouTube's Storyteller 011TBH said, I'm not sure if that temperament classification is still holding up in psychology.
Well, I don't care what you think. Next question.
Are you particularly choleric today, or what is
that? Yes, I'm exaggerating it to make a point.
Okay.
Because, and then again, with that wasn't very virtuous of me, but when you throw out a question like, we don't think temperaments are holding up in psychology today. Well, okay, show me, talk to me, tell me more, give me more information. The choleric would go, well, you didn't give me very much on there, build your case. And the melancholy would go, yes, and we went to footnotes, and we went to the history of it all, and, you know, they want
right,
the detail.
Right.
So the choleric wants the truth, the melancholy wants the supporting detail.
So would this the melancholy person be a better scholar?
Yes.
Then are there certain jobs
yes.
that would, like,
yes.
you, like, I kind of feel like I'd want the melancholy person to be my stonemason, too. Like, the wall would be well done
yes.
if the melancholy
yes.
person beautiful, did it.
Because they care about beauty and art and truth and goodness and, you know, craftsmanship.
Yeah.
All your guys in there in the IT area or whatever, I don't even understand. I can't say the words, but that's all their melancholy is their beautiful attention to detail.
Oh, I wish some of them were a little more melancholic, Ben. I'm going to be honest with you.
What? Well, that's the phlegmatic part, because they go, is it time for a break yet?
Yeah.
No, no.
So, okay, so, like, you could say, look, that priest, he said, I didn't think I would be a good priest because he was one of these temperaments. But priest is not just a job. It's not that, there's something more.
Okay.
That's like saying I wouldn't be a good husband because I have one of these temperaments.
Okay.
That's not right, though, right?
Like, okay, so here's the thing. If you have a preconceived notion that a man should be loud and strong and take charge and courageous and outspoken, well, that's me. I'm
yes.
not a man, and I don't want to be a man. That's my temperament.
Right, and I don't want to be any of those things.
Right,
that
exactly.
You just described.
And you're a very manly man, but you are stable, yeah. quiet, thoughtful, careful. You think before you open your mouth. You care about people's feelings and the order that's going on in the room before you move in and take charge. And there's the difference.
Oh.
So
your response then is to Storyteller,
Storyteller, I think, was delivering a very slight, quick, throw a little dart out there to burst the bubble of this topic. I don't think this is really holding up in psychology today.
Yes, and so that sounds melancholic.
It is melancholy, and
okay.
and that's fine. I receive that, and let's talk about it. But give me some proof, and where did you come up with that?
Right.
Because
right.
I'll be open to that discussion.
Okay. All
for right. about 5 minutes.
Then you'll just start bossing people around.
That's right. That's right.
The number is 888-318-7884. I'm going to see what YouTube is saying. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back with more with Rose Sweet. You are welcome to call that 888-318-7884 number. It looks like there are lines open. My type of holiness, striving for sainthood with the temperament God gave me. Rose Sweet, the author, is here with us. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Catechism in a Year with me, Father Mike Schmitz, is now available right here on Catholic Radio. Encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us, revealed in Scripture and passed down through the tradition of the Catholic faith, as we journey together toward our heavenly home.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, on EWTN Radio.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend? A coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul? and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest. She's got a new book on the temperaments. The original description of the temperaments is 2,500 years old or somewhere, 2,300, 2,400 years old.
Yes.
But in the medieval period, these came into the Catholic psychology, so to speak. Christendom brought these in and made use of them.
Well, it was probably before that.
Okay.
Because remember the ancient Greeks and how brilliant were they? This is part of their basic knowledge. And remember the Greeks came and listened to Jesus and followed Jesus, and the Greeks were baptized into the early church. So we don't have record of it, but I suspect that since this has been around for so long and it's so universal and people go, yeah, he's Esau and he's Jacob, that it was floating around there. That's my opinion.
Do opposites always attract?
No.
Okay, so tell me about that.
Thank you for asking that. Okay, so if you had a real harsh, now this is the choleric in his or her weakness, harsh, insensitive, domineering. If you had a parent like that, you're not going to want to marry that.
Oh, I see.
So I know a lot of phlegmatic, melancholy people who are married to other, they're married to other phlegmatics because they both enjoy the peace. And
oh, yeah.
Because the phlegmatic is adaptable. Whenever somebody needs to be a leader or make a decision, they have no trouble usually, you know, amongst themselves, you know, taking charge or making a decision. So it's not a problem for them.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. I'm sorry that I was of two minds there for a moment because I was looking at the poll while you were talking. I apologize.
No, don't apologize. I don't take any offense.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to get to that poll, but let's go to Nathan in Denver listening on the Catholic Answers app. Welcome, Nathan. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Oh, wow, that was quick. I was wondering if your temperaments can change throughout your life, because about 20 years ago, I think I took the test about 20 years ago, and I came up sanguine choleric. I swear I'm no longer that. I am probably a melancholic sanguine. Is that possible?
No. Next question. No,
she's
no sorry,
so mean
Nathan.
Today.
I'm sorry.
I apologize, Nathan.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm just going to say this, and you know I'm tongue-in-cheek. Everybody wants to be choleric. Everybody wants to be sanguine. But that's very few people. Those are extroverts. And really, the majority of people are not naturally extroverted. The majority of people are introverts. It doesn't mean they're shy and retiring or cowardly or lazy. It just means they think before they speak and act a lot of times. And again, I'm boiling this down. The answer, Nathan, to your question is no, your temperament does not change. It's like your biological sex or your eye color. It's God's gift to you, and it stays the same. But remember, it's the hard wiring, and on top of that could be life experience, maturity, addiction, grace, all kinds of things that will shape your temperament either to the virtues or to the vices. And then, you know, when we're young and we admire somebody, we will try to adapt that behavior to be like them. And when we get older, we go, I'm tired of being like that. I'm going to be who I am. And it sounds like maybe, Nathan, you've had this self-discovery that, no, this is who I am, and I'm fine with that. But you, melancholy and sanguines are opposite. Remember that lady that just called in earlier? I don't know if you were listening. She laughed at everything. She was silly. She was fun. She was affectionate. She was like, she told me she loved me. The melancholy doesn't do that right away. The melancholy waits. They're reserved. They're careful, they're thoughtful, they're deep, they're introspective. And those two are opposites, complementary. Does that make sense?
It does. So it's confusing me because...
Get the book.
Yeah,
the book.
I,
Okay,
Nathan,
here's what I'm guessing, and this is kind of dangerous. I tell people not to do this, but I would say if you really own the melancholy and you like that part, I don't think the other is sanguine. I think it's phlegmatic, because sanguines and phlegmatics are somewhat similar. They're both easygoing, friendly, roll with the punches, but the sanguine has a lot higher energy level. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not comfortable being melancholic. I'm not enjoying it.
Oh, okay.
That's what has me confused.
Okay, Nathan, read the book and then maybe call me for some coaching. I love to help people discover the truth of how God made them. Let's set you free, baby.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Nathan. Thanks very much. I want to talk a little bit about Jesus, and we'll go to another call. But we asked people which temperament that they thought Jesus was, and the guys did a great job of putting a poll up. But unfortunately, it missed something that Rose and I wanted to capture, because they gave four choices: phlegmatic, melancholic, sanguine, or choleric. And one of the things you and I have both experienced is people will say, well, he's all four, or he's a perfect blend of the four. And so we wanted to see if people would say that, and we don't know now. I will tell you this, 33%, a third of people thought phlegmatic, that Jesus is phlegmatic. And then 22% evenly divided, melancholic, sanguine, choleric.
Well, you have to read the book to find out what I really think.
Oh, really?
Let's just touch on the fact that, yes, Jesus is perfect, but he doesn't have to be all four. Remember, all of us, all human persons, have a blend of two. That's part of our humanity. And being all four is a nice, comfortable answer, because it doesn't leave anybody out. Because imagine, if I found out Jesus was choleric melancholy, that would make me feel bad, because I'm not either. You know, what if I'm not those things?
Right, right.
So I think it's kind of dangerous territory to go there until you really are a good student of this and understand why we're trying to learn this stuff and what we need to do with it. Otherwise, it can sound like, I think somebody you said, this sounds too much like a horoscope. It just gets reduced to pop psychology and some bizarre learning knowledge thing that is dangerous.
But people have been using it to good effect for 20, including many, many Catholic saints,
right,
for 2,500 years.
Right.
So
how could we go wrong with Thomas Aquinas? And another one, Hildegard of Bingen.
A doctor of the church. Isn't Hildegard
a
doctor of the church?
Yes, she is a doctor. You know, Hildegard, she discovered God did patterns of four. The four temperaments, the four seasons, the four times of the day.
The four tops.
Oh, God. See?
Sorry.
You put the melancholy on stage, and you can hardly tell they're not sanguine. Anyway.
So what you're saying about Jesus, however, is he is a person. He's not. It's kind of sentimental, and maybe there's a certain kind of wanting to exalt Jesus by saying, oh, he's just all of them, or he's the perfect blend of them, or something like that, and not acknowledge he has a personality, just like he has a skin color, and he has a hair color, and he has a sex, and he has a shoe size.
Yes.
He has a particular personality.
Yes.
And I think that's important to remember about him.
I do, too.
He doesn't have to be like me to be my savior.
That's exactly right.
And I actually don't think Jesus was very much. Like, when I read, there's some things in the gospel where I go, I'm very comforted by it, because I think, oh, I can identify with Jesus. But there's other times you read the gospel and you go, that's not me. I couldn't do that, what
right.
he did. I mean, not even
right.
begin to do what he did.
Right. And again, all that points to the fact is we need a savior. We need somebody to perfect us, and we have him. And that's the whole reason we're studying all this, is ultimately it's going to lead us back to understanding how he sees us, how he loves us, and what he wants for us. And that's our holiness.
The book is called My Type of Holiness, Striving for Sainthood with the Temperament God Gave Me. It's by Rose Sweet, and it's out and available now. Let's see. I'm going to go to Sam in Duluth, Minnesota. Sam, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Just for curiosity's sake, I wondered what we believe and say about happy-go-lucky and luck in general, and how you would define that. in terms of outlook and temperament versus nature and providence.
So are you saying that if you describe one of the temperaments as happy-go-lucky, that seems superstitious?
Yeah, she just did. She said someone's happy-go-lucky, and I don't know that we believe in luck. So how do we
I see.
Okay.
First of all, who did you say was happy-go-lucky?
Well, I don't know, but I believe him because he's melancholy, I can tell right away, because he's questioned what I said. You grabbed onto that one word, and you thought about it, and you go, that's not right, because we don't believe in luck. And I love that. That's a beautiful melancholy strength. Let's get the details right.
So let's be sure we have this right.
That's exactly right. And so I agree. No, happy-go-lucky, if I did use that, I don't remember, is a euphemism from our culture today. And it really, I shouldn't have used it. I should say content, the phlegmatic.
Easygoing, maybe.
Easygoing. The phlegmatic and the sanguine sometimes, although the sanguine has a lot more energy, are content with life, happy around people, warm, thoughtful, you know, kind of optimistic, and not really bothered by a lot of things. But that's the beautiful thing about the phlegmatic. Their passions are very moderate. They have passions, but they're not the wild extremes that some of the rest of us have.
Sam, what do you think of that answer?
I think it's pretty great and beautiful. I do wonder then, with the prior question as to changing, would be that if you practice thankfulness maybe and gratitude, you will grow in as a blessing counter. Maybe then you will be surrounded by fortune rather than, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We don't believe in fortune either. Oh. We do believe in divine providence. I love this. I love
blessings. Like,
yeah, blessings,
okay,
right.
Your blessings.
Yes.
Okay, you know what?
You can become a more grateful person, hopefully, through the practice of...
I don't think you're wrong about that.
No,
I
that's
think
exactly
you're,
right.
You're
and
right
all
about that,
four, Sam. All four could benefit from that, an attitude of gratitude.
So you're not saying we can't change. You're saying we can't change what we are.
We can't change our hard wiring, but we can change in virtue. We can change in maturity. We can change in understanding. We can change in education. Yes,
yeah.
And we can, and we should.
Because I can remember when I was immature.
Well,
and look at
last
me now.
Week?
No.
Okay.
A long, long
okay,
time ago.
But you're never
so
going to change being a male.
No, right. I'm not going to mature out of that.
Right, yeah. But you did mature from a boy to a man.
Yes.
Right.
Sam, thank you. I'm going to go, I don't want to skip somebody. Catherine is down in Jacksonville, Florida, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Catherine, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Rose, and hi, Sai. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Catherine.
I heard you mention that, you know, if you have a volatile parent or something, that you might be responding certain ways, and you might be looking for a partner who's, you know, similarly placed as you. Well, my question is, can early childhood trauma, and I mean early childhood trauma, could that form your temperament? It's something I've always kind of wondered, because if you're someone who has that kind of trauma, maybe you're learning how to deal with the world for the first time and really trying to respond to that trauma around you. And how can you really know what your real temperament is but for that trauma?
Okay, that's a great question. And I do address trauma in the effects of trauma. It's another layer on top of our basic God-given temperament. It's a real thing. So basically, in observing, you know, humankind, The little sanguine child will overwhelmingly seek center of attention more than they would to affirm themselves. Or the choleric, you know, they're going to go off into an extreme of their natural bent. With the exception of if you're crushed with horrible abuse, no matter what temperament you are, you're going to tend to shut down. And that's going to look like an introvert. So maybe there are a lot of people with natural extrovert to them who were abused and hurt and aren't trusting and don't feel safe in the world and are shut down to some degree. But understanding, education, therapy, grace can all help that to bring it, to restore it to natural order.
Catherine, I got to leave it there. You can hear the music. That means we have reached the end of this hour.
Oh,
but thank you very much for the call, Catherine. Please check out at our Sunday Visitor Press My Type of Holiness, Striving for Sainthood in the with the Temperament God Gave Me by our guest, Rose Sweet. Rose, thank you very much.
Went by so fast.
It did go by fast.
Thank you.
I'm phlegmatic and melancholic?
There's no word for you, Si. That's all I have to say. So, ta-ta.
That seems the opposite of what you just said for the whole hour.
No, you're wonderful.
Right back with Jason Everett on Catholic Answers Live.